listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 9th. I can't believe it. My name is Michael Kelly and I am here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, as always.
Always glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live, and welcome to those listening to the archives. We appreciate you joining us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and education program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, I am looking forward to tonight's discussion, but as always, we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight, we're going to have a bit more of a free-willing discussion. Dr. Hunter and I have been talking about some subjects beforehand, and we're going to kind of touch on several different topics, but I think to start, we're going to talk about the idea of victimhood and victimization. And I think you have a really good story, Dr. Hunter, about this.
Well, I'm going to encourage everybody to go to YouTube, not right this minute, but after the program. Go to YouTube and look up AGT Nightbird. And this girl who came on last night who was singing is dealing with cancer, has been for years. She still only has a 2% survival rate, apparently. But she said it's not 0%. But her words, not only is she like astounding and got a golden buzzer from Simon, her words were, you don't have to wait till the bad days are over to decide to be happy. And I'll tell you, it's impacted so many people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing a lot of poor me going around, and you know, and when people reach out for help, like, I'm all over it. I'm with you, and it's, I just look in my sphere of influence, so to speak, or hear other stories of people and taking shortcuts, and you know, they're going down the road and they decide to go left, you know, making changes in their lives that don't kind of make any sense. And it's that poor me, and there's this comparison about my pain is greater than your pain, or they even forget about other people's pain, and you know, this big rush into my mental illness and emotional, you know, breakdown is more important than yours.
It almost becomes like a competition, like a game of one-upsmanship. And it's interesting, right? I mean, now obviously, I mean, I have gone through the worst pain that any human can experience, of course, but that's a given. I mean, but other people that talk about it, I mean, what is the drive to try to one-up one another, you know, and not everybody does it, of course, but you do kind of see that. I've seen it with, you know, people. I'll be at a gathering and somebody will be telling a story and, you know, it might be something that happened to them or even something embarrassing or just something that was rather negative, and they're telling a rather humanizing story, and somebody else has to come in and have to, well, oh, that happened? Well, let me tell you how bad this was for me.
I know. And listen, when it comes to what women do to women when they're pregnant and having babies, oh my, good grief. You know, the first advice I give young moms is don't listen to people. Close your ears. Don't talk to other women about birth. Don't do it.
You know, that's probably good advice for anybody. Just don't listen to other people. Oh my, yeah.
I think part of it is, and I really do feel like so many people don't feel validated, and I think that's a root of it. You're not feeling heard, you know, you're not feeling as though you're acknowledged or validated in some way. But I have seen people who are validated a lot, but it's not enough. And I'm going to just take a guess that in so many ways, the more comfort we have in our day-to-day living, and I mean comfort like running water and, you know, refrigeration and power and so on.
All the basic needs on the, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Basic needs. And the more people have in that way, they're living externally. You know, it's that external living, and the emotions aren't synchronized, and that's my take on it. I am really quite surprised, though, at how indulged many people are with the poor me. There are some movements, to me, that are worthy of discussion.
Oh, absolutely.
I absolutely believe that. It's long overdue.
And there are individuals who have horrific experiences, and they deserve support. But is it just fashionable now that, you know, that there's, I don't know, it's becoming something that you see it on social media, it's attention. It's like, look at me, look at me, look at me. And it, you know, it maybe is a sign of, you know, I'm using this term loosely, not psychologically, but just kind of a growing narcissism that is inhabiting our society.
Well, I think a lot of the self-esteem movement backfired in some ways, people not quite understanding what self-esteem means. Like as Dr. Kelly would say, to be self-possessed is to know who you are.
Right.
And live from the inside out. But people kind of don't necessarily know what that means. It's to esteem myself. They get that mixed up with confidence. And when things aren't going their way, you know, which is what this nightbird is trying to say, you know, you don't wait till the bad days are over to decide to be happy. You know, it's that need for feeling alive in the crisis and the, you know, movement. Dr. Hedward is saying it almost reminds him of his mother's older cousins who seemed to be in a competition to see who had it worse. And, you know, in family dynamics like that, Edward, I think what's happened is siblings don't feel heard. You know, it's who had it worse. It's really subjective. I know I have a family that they don't even ask me to want to know what I feel. Anything I might have said, you know, was immediately negated. Mm-hmm. So that I'm never going to be heard there, you know, and you just kind of accept that. But it's this need to be competitive with pain and pleasure. Because I want to add in that pleasure. Pain and pleasure do this really twisted dance together very often. And because at the same time when people are, you know, screaming to be heard about their pain, they're equally showing off their pleasures, you know, bragging on Facebook or showing off their new boat or, you know, it's again that living outside the self. You know?
Well, and I think the, I don't know, I'm special syndrome comes into it too, that nobody else could possibly understand what I'm going through. My situation is, you know, different or unique. And I'll admit to having felt that before in my life, especially as a teenager. I'm pretty sure you have to I think there's a requirement somewhere that you have to be that self-centered as a teenager to where you, like, nobody can understand what I'm going through, even though billions of other human beings have gone through exactly the same thing. But it it is a little bit of that I'm special, or it's, you know, you need to something to set yourself apart. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with wanting to set yourself apart, but maybe do it in some healthier ways.
Well, I know Dr. Kelly goes into that quite at length, you know, in the school studies. And if you're not there, everybody, you know, keep going in your studies, because there's some really good stuff in there about the I'm special. You know, don't do for others what they ought to and could do for themselves, and equally don't get others to do stuff you could do yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's a lot of other projection, you know, going on. I just want to acknowledge Omar in the chat when I was saying about how my family doesn't care about me. He's saying, same here, Dr. Hunter. And I want to just acknowledge that very often, and no matter how, whether it's something as simple as, well, you know, I like a blue dress, and they're saying, ooh, you know, and trying to invalidate that. It's equally about I feel pain, and they're saying, oh, that really, that can't be. You know, I mean, that couldn't have happened. And there's everybody's in their own denial for their own needs to serve. That's that, you know, it's right off the top of my head here. Where you deny something?
Secondary gains.
Thank you very much. And it's everybody's living in their own bubble, in a way. And I think that that inhibits our evolution, because I think the whole point of what's going on this planet right now is to come together. And that's where part of it, Michael and I were talking before the program, that, you know, we look at the world and we're kind of angry at times because, like, don't y'all get it? We're supposed to be working together here, but what is the common cause to work together? And I think that spirituality in and of itself just doesn't cut it, because everybody has a different intellect about what that means and how that behaves. And there's an issue of superiority that goes with that too. And so being human beings, one planet, one race, and that doesn't seem to be enough. know?
Well,
and I'm not sure why either, Michael.
We're tribal. I mean, we have to begin with understanding that we are the human animal, and we go from there. It is our nature, it's our instinct to be tribal, because we find safety within our tribe, and it's the unknown that is potential danger. In a different era of our history, it was a different world. You had very real survival concerns and a very brutal world. It's not that way anymore. We human beings have socially evolved to the point where we're no longer, you know, a threat in that way. We for all of our faults in the modern era, we have softened a lot. If you look at history, it is brutal and savage, and that is global. You know, the notion of Europeans calling people indigenous tribes of the New World savages, you know, irony, hypocrisy, and roll up in one, because the savagery did not end with the, you know, beginning of the Renaissance. It just changed. And we have come to a point of social awareness where globally, even though, yes, there are hot spots, there are wars that cannot be ignored, and we cannot downplay them. Places in Syria, Yemen, all over. There's places in West Africa that are going through some very, you know, troubling times right now. And not to discount those struggles, but globally, we are a more peaceful people now than ever before in our history. Violent deaths make up a far lower percentage of deaths than we can, in ever in recorded history, that we can tell by, you know, archaeological evidence. And just, there's a good bit of educated guesswork in there from the articles that I've read. But take heart that we are in the right direction, but we still have to acknowledge that we start out as that human animal, and then we get the we learn the lessons of our history, our society does over time. You have that generational memory, but we still have a long way to go.
Well, I think you made a point there, Michael. We've gone soft, and we have expectations of how things should be, and there's this greed behind it in being soft. You know, and I know, you know, kids roll their eyes at me, but you don't have to haul your water. You don't have to go out and hunt your meat, and you don't have to prepare, bake your bread all day. You don't have to do these things. Everything is very immediate. It's some people, you know, kind of. I gotta tell you a quick story. There was, as everybody has been in this housing purchase frenzy, city people wanting that quiet country living. I read a story outside Vancouver. A woman posted on social media. Her neighbor knew city folks who've moved to the country, left a note on her door to say, feed your goats or sell them, they're too noisy. And she reported the goats to the SPCA. And of course it cracks me up because, and look, other people got the story, and SPCA and other people are saying, when you're going to buy a house, you should kind of know what comes with the territory. This is country and country living and acreage dwellers, and they have animals and they're noisy, and feeding the goats isn't going to do it. But see what I mean? There's this disconnect.
Right. There is.
Of what that takes to live. And if you've had things free flowing, you expect 24-hour service.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I can tell you, DoorDash has ruined me. You mean I can have food from any restaurant in the area delivered to my door?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't even go to the grocery store anymore. I have it delivered. But I will say this, in defense of my generation, doing the laundry, even with a washing machine and a dryer, is every bit equally as hard as going out to the river, scrubbing it with a rock, and then hanging it up from a tree.
Michael.
Come on now. You have to go in. You have to sort. You have to put it in the detergent. You have to pick the right setting, and then you have to wait a whole hour before you can put it in the dryer. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
It should be like 15 minutes. This is ridiculous.
That's like if your internet is slower than, you know, 10 seconds to wait for a page, or something wrong?
I don't know. The internet went out the other day, and I just, you know, kind of huddled in the corner and rocked back and forth until it came back.
See, this is what I mean about this indulged kind of, so there's a psychology that goes with that. You know, we're kind of disconnected from living from the inside of ourselves too.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds so cliche, but to live with some gratitude, there's a lot of things that pee me off too.
Yeah.
You know, I shake my head, and there's things like about my life I'd like to change. Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Could it have been better or different? I'd love to win that lottery. You know, a lot of people's lives would improve if I won. I keep telling the gods that. It's to live from the inside out of saving your mind.
Yeah.
You know, when you're living over there, you lose your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's lost.
And there is a quality to putting a little bit of effort into life. Omar mentioned in chat that they air dry their clothes, and it helps save the planet. Very excellent point. One thing that is positive to see is the efficiency of appliances has gone way up, which helps save power too. So if you're looking to buy, do efficient and do things in an efficient manner. And this is just your local PSA about energy consumption and conservation. But you lose something when things are a little bit too easy. You have to do a little bit of struggle. And it is unfortunate that that's the way the world is, but it is. If you want to understand the full texture and context of life and what is possible, you got to get your hands dirty a little bit and, you know, get out in the muck and, you know, do some real work. And I say that having, you know, done my fair share in certain ways. I did restaurant work for a long time. I've done landscaping. That was fun. And it teaches you to appreciate things. And Dr. Stephen had mentioned in the chat, what about doing dishes by hand? I will say this. I haven't had a dishwasher in 4 years. Just happens to be every place I go to, you know, rent or live, they don't have a dishwasher. So I have been washing my dishes.
I don't
by
have
hand.
A dishwasher either.
Hey, high five. Samesies.
Yeah.
But, and it, you know, there's something to be gained by putting your own blood, sweat, and tears.
It's an interesting kind of world we're living in, and Michael and I were also talking about we can both feel a shift mm-hmm. that's coming, and I'm sure that everybody who's listening can say, yeah, things are shifting, all right, but I think some things will be not so pleasant, and I think other things will be a relief.
Yeah.
See, so I just go along for the ride of life. I think the older you get, the more resilient, you know, if you're not. I am a control freak about a lot of things, but it's just over me. I don't, like, life, I don't have a control over that. So you got to roll with it, you know.
Resilience. Know, absolutely, resilience. You know, one of the things we were just going to talk about a range of things. One of the things I put on my list was not living in fear. And that's exactly what you're talking about. It is horrible to live in fear.
Yeah.
And you also have to be able to forgive yourself when you do things that you regret and you go down the wrong path. You do any of the things we've been talking about tonight. I mean, you have to be able to cut yourself some slack and be able to move on, too.
I got to say, Dr. Greg wrote in the chat, go along for the ride of life. Is it a bumpy road, Dr. Vicky? Yeah.
It's the bumpiest.
And he says, fear is an indication there's no love. I'm not so sure about that. I think there is love, but fear, you know, if you've been smacked across the head a few times, you're automatically going to duck when somebody raises their arm.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's conditioning, and that's being a little bit fearful because you've had those experiences before. But I think that...
Right.
When I say going along for the ride of life, you know, there's going to be some days that are crap.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, oh man, I look back and I say, that was one crappy year. You know, or I went through about 5 years. That was not fun.
Yeah.
You know,
but things definitely ebb and flow. And
you have to be able to feel that resilience and that desire, you know, to just persevere. It's like finding something to do. Well, this is something to do. You know, when I get diagnosed with cancer, I say, well, this is something to do. and I don't mean to minimize it. But
yeah. Life is absurd. It keeps throwing absurd things at you. What can you do except throw your hands up and say, well, this is happening now. Okay, well, let's roll with it. And, you know, it's a great line. You know, the ride of life is a bumpy road. And what came to my mind is sometimes it's the bumpiest road. It's the bumpiest road you've ever seen. It's not even a road. It's that scene from Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, where they're going through the forest and he's bouncing up and down in the car. It is the craziest of crazies, but it's not always like that.
Greg says, had my fill of washboard roads, startles the horses and jolts the carriage. That's funny. That's a good one. But it's true. I mean, there's... I look at people who seemingly have a okay life, like they've got a good life, they've mm-hmm. got family and they've got money and they have, you know, they have this, but there's something else going on in there that ain't so right. <You know? laughs> And they say everybody's got their issues.
What was that movie Stepford something, right, where it was like an idyllic town but there was yeah. something very dark underneath.
Stepford Wife?
Yes. Yeah, I think like that was it. Yeah. You kind of get that vibe sometimes from certain things.
Well, I feel like I'm in a Jim Carrey movie sometimes. It gets a little weird, you know? What's that movie where he's living in the soap opera?
Oh, The Truman Show?
Yeah, Truman Show. I love that movie. Absolutely. And here's the thing. If we continue to be curious... and interested. The Humans of New York, I love following them on Facebook and the stories they tell. There's one woman on there who she's in her 70s or something and giving her story. And she said, I never stopped being interested And she said, interested in life. There's always something to read, something to learn, somebody new to meet, and don't stop being interested. And I think that's so key to minimizing our competitiveness, to be interested, to want to know more.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, why everybody is here with ICMH and IMHS and TFU, is because we're interested to learn more.
We all want to connect.
Sorry?
And, you know, we also all want to connect. We come here together. We learn together. We exchange ideas. It's the human experience. It's one of the wonderful things about being the human animal.
Dr. Edwards says, this is what we signed up for when we decided to come to this world. Well, I have a very big logbook now that's going back to the home planet with me. That wasn't quite the way it was supposed to be.
I want to read my contract. You know, I better be getting, you know, paid enough. Well, then again, I can only imagine whatever universe we came from where we agreed to live this life that there is no such thing as currency. I actually have thought, if you have an infinite existence, I probably said this before, if you've had an infinite existence, I mean infinite, we're talking billions of years have passed, trillions of years have passed, or time has no real meaning in that way, the past, present, future, it's all the same. You don't get the sensations, the feelings, the emotions that you have in a world that is linear. It would be almost like going on an amusement park ride to go into a life and experience things where you don't know, where you have ignorance. And it seems like even if it was a rough life, it would still be some kind of experience to experience for an entity that did not know linear time, that did not know time as we understand it.
Well, I think that if we could change our view of, you know, I hear it all the time, but we're here to learn. I said, yeah, well, I'm interested to learn more, but I'm real sick of that because I want to create. And mm-hmm. I think if we start changing our view, you know, it's that paradigm, if you will, that life view about every child here is here to teach us and to be nurtured to create and get out of each other's way, then we would be listening more and be more curious. But that would be a coexistence. Because now I've raised siblings, I've raised my own kids, I've raised other kids. Every one of them has taught me something. Everybody probably taught me a lot of things and taught me more about myself and, you know, how deep you have to dig sometimes to understand and to assist and to coexist. But they all bring something, and all I ever encouraged anybody to do is be you, you know, just be you.
That's all you can do.
And you're learning about the world and how to navigate it, but be you. And I found that they're less competitive. People are less competitive when you're being you, because I'm just being me.
Yeah.
You know, well, you be you, and I'll be me. And that's good. And I'm not going to compete with you for pain. I can share to connect with you and have you understand that I get it.
I love that you made that point. That was on my mind, too. We were talking about this earlier, about people trying to one-up one another, and that's not always the case. Dr. Stephen, they made a point sometimes trying to continue the conversation. I would say sometimes you want people to understand, just like you said, Dr. Hunter. You just want them to know that you understand and you can empathize in a real way.
Yep. I totally get it. I hear you, in other words, and I can relate. And I'm the first one to say, I don't get where you're coming from. I don't understand it. Like, when I've talked to people who've lost a child, oh man, I don't ever want to know what that feeling is.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. I'm hearing you. And what can I do for you? How can I be a support? And sometimes it's just to ask a lot of questions. Who are they? You know, because there's grieving and everybody grieves in a different way. So there's some things I'm the first one to say, I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I hope life doesn't throw that to me. But other things, I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing you. And have support to work through that. And that's when people, because when people are screaming to be heard, that pain is very real.
Yeah, it is.
So, but to me, those are legitimate things. I think that I was telling Michael before the program, I think I read an article about a woman whose son has a guide dog, and very needed guide dog, and she's tired of everybody and their emotional support critters, you know, because they're not well behaved, they're not anything, it's just you're attached to your critter. Guide dogs are trained, they're, you know, so anyway, she was talking about the difference, and I totally see her point, because now her son is coming across issues with his, you know, really expensive guide dog. No, it's not emotional support. And we have papers and we have this. And so he's having to prove this all the time because people are getting away with a lot of stuff with emotional support. Well, I'm going to get on that bandwagon and have, you know, emotional support. I mean, you know what I mean? It's gone a little too far. So I think we have to reel it in a little bit and validate ourselves, connect with people in a new way, and know the difference between pain and pleasure, and ask yourself, what kind of pain is that giving me? What kind of pleasure is that giving me? Am I really confused that pain is my pleasure? Whew, that's big to acknowledge. So, that's just my little speech for the moment. So, did I lose you, Michael?
Oh, the most fascinating and interesting things I just said while I was on mute. And they're gone forever. I'm sorry. But what I was saying is, no, I think that that was very well said. And, well, to kind of put a cap on it, I had it worded.
You had it, but it's gone. I know.
Well, I did. I had it worded exactly how I was talking to. Of course, I'm a little bit distracted by some of the interesting chat that we have going on as well. But
it's like we just got distracted because, for anybody listening in the archives, Omar threw it in that a skunk just sprayed outside of his house.
Yeah,
and
which...
looking at all the the talk. Skunks are terrible. If I have some, get some tomato juice. I tell you, it's huge.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've had dogs get sprayed by skunks, and it's a tricky one.
It's been... a long time, but yeah, definitely bad. But Dr. Hunter, I'm not going to be able to function psychologically until we can connect this. Please tell me, what was the thing that you were saying right before we kind of wrapped up your segment?
Well, I was just saying that we need to connect better and know the difference between our pain and our pleasure. Because there is this very fine line. We're so used to stimulation.
Right.
That we don't know what it is to be calm and peaceful and quiet in ourselves. Needing that stimulation is its own addiction.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So if you ask yourself the question, does this bring me pleasure to be in pain, that'll open up doorways in yourself that you never knew existed. And you start looking at everything.
Absolutely. And when you brought that... to mind, it came, you know, two things came to mind. One is that we've been talking about competition a lot as a negative thing, but we are human beings, we're a human animal, and competition can be a healthy thing if done in the proper way. It can be a very fun thing. It is part of, you know, being human. We love to play sports, well, some of us. We like competition, we like games, we like, you know, competing in different ways. And that can be a very healthy thing. So let's not just, you know, make it negative, but let's also think about how are we competing with others in the world, and is it in a healthy way, or are we trying to tear them down?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Sorry. I'm just going to inject here with my grandkids. My grandson is, you know, he gets very sensitive, and playing card games and other games with him to gain confidence, because when he'd lose, he'd start crying.
Yeah.
And now he's coming around, he's growing a strength, and so I love it when I say, ah, no, I beat you, you know, of course I do, because then when he does win a game, I say, wow, good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, It's just a game, and but to have the competition where it belongs.
Well, and to be able to lose gracefully, and to be able to, you know, not think it's the end of the world. Second point that I wanted to make, and it's rather embarrassing, but it was on the tip of my mental tongue when I was trying to think of it earlier. But the second point I wanted to make, often people will choose pain over the void, over emptiness. Mm-hmm. Because truthfully, there's nothing worse than just emptiness, than just a void of meaning or purpose or anything. Pain is often much easier to deal with. It's something you can kind of sink your teeth into. It can be drama. It makes life interesting. And oftentimes people will create this chaos to avoid this emptiness they find within. So that was just the last point I was going to make. Tiny little soapbox for the discussion we've had tonight. Thank you all for going through my little memory slip with me tonight. Thank you, Dr. Hunter, for an excellent discussion. And I know that I have been eating into our card pulling time, and now we already have some names in there. So
we
I
do.
Think without further ado, we'll start
Let's
with some
Let's pull
cards.
For Dr. Edward first, shall we? Let's
we shall.
Go there.
And Dr. Edward, we're pulling an inner oracle card first. Kind of a card to hopefully get you to think about things in a different way. And... Ah, that's an interesting one. Number 5, Law of Control.
Good one for tonight.
Very much so. Differences are inevitable, and diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Well, and in support of that, Dr. Edward, I have temperance. So, wow, if that isn't a good affirmation about going with the flow. You know, as I said, sometimes it's the ride of life. You know, this is the ride. So the law of control. What can you control? What's within your control while you're going with the flow of life? And sometimes... there's things that we would like to have more influence on, but, you know, we just have to know if somebody didn't ask you, well, that's unsolicited advice. Mm-hmm. So going with the flow, and I think in some ways, Edward, there's a plan brewing, energy is changing, and you're thinking about it, and, you know what's within your power to change and what isn't. And I think you have that anyway, but it's an affirmation.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
If I could say, Greg just had an aha moment. He said the Oracle cards and their messages are based on the school's curriculum. You're absolutely right, Greg. Mm-hmm. That's what Dr. Kelly put them together for, and it's exactly the school. So.
All right.
So we have Jamil next.
Actually, I think we have Omar first.
Well, and then Omar was answering something in the chat, and then he put again what I would like a card after Wendy. So that's where I have him now.
Oh, after you put in chat, would anyone like a card? He said yes after Dr. Edward
all right.
did.
We can do Omar right now. Absolutely.
I have been keeping a list. I checked it twice. I learned from
yes,
the best.
Yes, but he said later, I would like a card, Dr. Hunter. So we're both right.
Well, anyway, I did pull number 7, self-mastery.
I like it.
And let's see. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
Well, yep. In support of... sorry, you're going to add something, Michael?
I was just going to say, that's such a great card to pull after you were talking about that very topic earlier tonight. Great message.
Yeah. Well, Omar, the Wheel of Fortune is supporting your self-mastery. And that's about taking chances. And I want to say, though, we have to know when to take risks, when to take those chances. But you being you and self-mastery... it's know when you're capable of applying. So here we are navigating through the world. Know when opportunity is there and the ones to walk through. Now, just because there is an opportunity doesn't mean you say yes. That's knowing yourself and that's self-mastery. And but being willing to walk through those doors, being willing to have confidence in yourself that you can do that. So I'd say there's some changes afoot in your life too, Omar, and I think we've seen that in you know, past programs. And just know that this is a good time for you to look at where your opportunities are.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. And Jamil. We pulled this one last week, too. My favorite card. Maybe that's why it keeps coming up subconsciously. Mm. Wild card number one, Paradox. Long-time listeners
favorite.
Know.
Yeah.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. And thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Ooh, Jamil. Now, don't freak out when I tell you what this card is. I'm just going to brace you for a second. The Death card is a birth card. So, endings and beginnings. Paradox and the Death card, that's profound. So, things may be in a big change in your life at the moment. And what again, what Michael has just explained to you about paradox, but the rebirthing, this new Jamil kind of stepping forward. So you may have had some epiphanies, revelations, some new sense of yourself in a way, and how you apply yourself to life. So I think that's a great affirmation. My thoughts.
And
hi, Wendy. Nice to see Wendy here. Sorry, you were going to say something.
It's just always, rebirth, starting a new chapter, very exciting. One of the most interesting phases of our lives is going through these new chapters and rebirths. But, yep.
Oh, and wondering who you're going to be when this is
finished. Oh, it's an intricate story being told, one day at a time. But we have Wendy, our card keeper, one of our favorite people. Wendy, I have pulled number 38, open-mindedness.
Good one.
An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Well, open-mindedness is supported by, and I pulled two cards here for you, Wendy, the Seven of Clubs with the Queen of Clubs. Now, in some ways, it's about buffering yourself from other people's energy, other people's stuff. It's being open-minded, but also I think in this case it's saying, create that bubble, if you will. Think of a white light around yourself. And again, what we were talking about earlier, don't buy into the fears. Don't buy into negative thinking or the what ifs and stuff. It's just moving forward as yourself. One of my favorites is the Queen of Clubs. She's an overseer. She's got that mother in her, that nurturer. But she can see in the distance. So it's knowing what that cause and effect, action, reaction, but being able to see 5-10 steps ahead. So she has that insight, but this natural instinct for life too. So open-mindedness, being a little bit of self-preservation here while you are healing yourself and working on yourself and creating your life is what I want to say.
That's a wonderful message. And I think so apropos. But
we have Dr. Jeff with us. Nice to see you here, Jeff.
Ah, so glad to have you. All right. And I have number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, and Divine Energy.
Huh.
Drawing this card indicates in the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
And the Two of Clubs is supporting that. That's the Two of Wands in tarot language. How you see your future, Jeff. How you look at the future. It's like overseeing your life and looking forward. Sometimes there's a point where you look back, take inventory, but this is about how you move forward. And the Two of Clubs is always a doer. It's active energy, and it likes changes. It likes to create. So spirit, cosmos, divine energy, is what is your sense of purpose now? What is your sense of knowing? And how are you going to feel valued in your life? You know, and the value you give to yourself, but what do you bring to the world? So if you put things on hold, this will be the time to revisit that, I think. Myself. My message for the day.
Very well said.
A lot of feedback. Thank you very much for the feedback, everybody. There's a couple of cards. Like Wendy says, Ronaldo had Paradox last week. And Jamil had it this week. So it's interesting that, you know, there's times for people in the archives. Sometimes we get this repeated message, and other times I've noted that we go through a kind of a different energy source that connects us. And so I feel like in this last month or two, you know, there's been new energies inserted into what we're seeing that come out in the cards. What do you think, Michael?
I completely agree. And yeah. It is interesting how you see kind of patterns now and again, you know, even if not the same person has gotten the same card, seeing kind of some of the cards show up more often than others is unusual in its own right. But, you know, it's probability is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I've always suspected that, you know, some things perhaps we might define as fate or destiny are simply maybe pushing on the scales of probability in our lives. But it's all very interesting. The unanswerable questions are the most interesting questions to ask.
Well, I hope, too, that we're giving some kind of validation, which, look, we all need at some point. We all like to have that. It's not ego. It's not living outside yourself. It's just that acknowledgement of, you know, as Dr. Kelly would say, you know, saying thank you and mm-hmm. saying it twice, that affirmation
right.
to show and demonstrate that people are appreciated and we hear you. And
I mean, for me, it's ego, but for healthy people, it's like you're saying.
You're funny. it's even these cards, it's the cosmos, you know, connecting and how we interpret that then and what we give to you is, you know, it's hopefully some kind of an affirmation that spirits are hearing you, cosmos hear you. Oh, Jeff, he said, that's interesting. My youngest son graduates tomorrow. Congratulations.
Yeah, very big congratulations. That's a watershed moment.
It is. It's a big, big moment. I remember that well. You know, the thing about graduating is, and when you see your children graduating, I can say from personal experience, and I've talked to other parents, is they did it. We did it. You got them through that to that moment of you know, adulthood. And when they're kind of intact, you know, like doesn't mean life hasn't happened to them, but they're now in a new phase and you contributed to that. You did your job. And they have the tools and they have the education that they created, that you helped to create into their adulthood. It's a really profound moment, I believe.
So. Absolutely. Well, so well said. But, you know, to be fair, I could say that pretty much after anything you say and it would play right in, so...
Well, Wendy said that she's not going to be with us for a couple of weeks, I think. Hopefully, you know, if you feel up for it, we'd love to have you. And we all are sending you a lot of healing energy, support energy. And, you know, it's when I look back at your cards and that little self-preservation and protectiveness is what you need when you're in a healing. And it's good to be selfish about that. You know, yeah. Go into healing mode and never mind the world and let them cook for themselves.
That's
Wendy,
right.
Wendy, who is our local cook.
That's saying a lot, too, for Wendy. You know, I mean, those poor people that are going to miss out on that delicious cooking.
they'll appreciate her more when she's back on her game.
So very true. But, well, as we, I think that's everybody on the list for cards. And as we kind of wrap up this evening, it's been, you know, it's oftentimes we go into a discussion and we don't really know what we're going to talk about, but a topic just makes itself apparent. And I think that happened tonight, and I really enjoyed this discussion. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about next week. You, Dr. Hunter?
I don't.
But we're going to think
of, we'll find something.
It's going to
be fascinating. And if anybody has any ideas, you can fire us an email. Yeah. That would be awesome, too.
And
I do know that there's, pay attention for tomorrow, I believe, big solar eclipse in, it's the upper Canada and the upper U.S. in the east. I guess you'll be able to see it, but another energy shift as well with the solar eclipse, so pay attention, and we'll see what kind of a page it turns in the cosmos.
It's going to be very interesting. I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to see it from my part of the world, but
no, I can't either. So
well, we're not special enough. It's,
well,
it's not, it's not
it
meant for
news.
Us. Yeah, and well, I'm very much looking forward to all of you joining us next week. We like to gather. We like to explore the curiosity of the world, just to understand what it means to be human. And every week that you join us in this journey, in these discussions, the more we understand it, the little bit better we get. So we don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but it will be the most interesting, fascinating, provocative topic you will have heard broadcast, I'm going to say, in the last decade, easily. So
Omar is going to message us with some topics. That's good. It's on you now, Omar.
Well, I've been building it up, so it's going to be provocative, and it's going to be the best thing that's been broadcast in a decade. So, tune in, join us next week, and I'm looking forward to having you all. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.